Blog Talk Radio.
I couldn't hook up to because I'm on the iPhone. So if you're there, I'm sorry. I can't communicate with you. And if you'd like to speak live to me, the number here is 646-595-3440.
So that if you can't write a question on the chat room, you can certainly call me up. And this number is 646-595-3440. And kind of a little bit surprised for me because, again, I wasn't certain that I was going to have to do this because I pre-recorded a wonderful show to share about something, an awareness that I had that was quite profound for me. And it was about a movie that I had seen some years ago, not very many years ago, but a few years ago. I'm not a moviegoer, so when I see a movie and then I see it again and then I see it again, it really is reflective of what I feel, you know, something about my belief system or touching my heart in the moment, or it certainly has a lesson for me. And so it was The Lake House, and it was a really profound awareness because in that movie, presently, I was able to see the aspect of simultaneous realities and how they occur in our daily life, and how the actual, if anybody saw this, if they haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it, because it really shows you that when something is destined to be, it is, and it already is. It's nothing that we have to do to make it happen. The only thing that we need to do is get out of the way, and that's what the Course in Miracles calls removing the blocks to love. So I saw it, and it was so beautiful for me because I feel that I have met, you know, the love of my life, of all lifetimes. The experience ignited in me the purest sense of sacred union and that I could even imagine. And I see now that that aspect of me isn't with me because we're not in the clear channel of love expressed and then realize. And it doesn't matter if it's the he that's not or the me that's not. There's something in the way, and that's what that movie really illustrated for me. And it was so profound that I kept on crying when I was trying to share it on the show. Anyway, so I'm on vacation in the sense that I'm leaving what was to go into a whole new life as the adventurer, the Sagittarius that I am. Really feel it was time for me to move past what was and allow myself rites of passage to the next level of my spiritual journey. And I don't know what that really means yet. But I do know that I'm right now with one of my dearest friends, a man in my life for about 35 years, maybe 38 years. And in his beautiful, him and his partner's beautiful home in Flagler Beach in the most gorgeous, comfortable bed. And that's what I'm recording from right now. So if you're hearing me from that space. And as I said, the pre-recorded show was to be aired, and when I left the house, I forgot to upload it. So there's no accidents. Obviously, I was supposed to be here tonight to talk out loud, to hear what it is that I, the higher I in me, was trying to make known through me, which I always share. So anyway, that concept was very beautiful for me, and what I do want to talk about, first of all, is I want to thank Mark Anthony for that song, Love Is All. I use it often, and for me it's very symbolic because I really believe that he captured the true essence of what I've come to realize and come to live and to teach, that you know, the lover within, the lover is within all, in every moment, you know. And when we start becoming conscious, we start seeing that and we start living that. And it's a divine revelation to begin with. And then it kind of seems like everything falls into place. And I think maybe I want to go there for a minute with what occurred with me making the decision to go to New York. I did that about a month ago. And I really felt like I had to go back to my roots and to visit friends I hadn't seen for years, but also to trigger or to reactivate, maybe is a better word, the part of me that was very free as a young girl in New York. And it's still me, it's who I am. And I put myself in a space suit that sort of weighed me down. And for a while now, for a couple of years, I've really been limited in movement and restricted. It's almost like a straitjacket in a sense, because I've really been not authentically who I am. So I decided to go to New York, and I put it out there, and it was really weird because I have so many friends and so much family
in New York, which I haven't really communicated with for like probably 20 some odd years, but I still felt when I put that out, I have a lot of people that would be saying, you know what, come on, my bed's open, my house is open, my guest room is open, my hotel, whatever, and didn't occur. And I just find a place to stay that turned out to be not the place that I was supposed to be. Anyway, I still was going to journey on, and the Friday before I was leaving, my dad, all of a sudden, he had, which is so beautiful, ever since I decided to come to the state of adventure, I asked my dad, doctor, if he can get some home health care, and it's been amazing. For 3 weeks, he has not had a day to rest, really, because he has people coming every day to serve him. It's like he's a king. I mean, truly, he's treated like royalty. And so it also was something I guess I needed to see before I moved on. Anyway, so with that in mind, that Friday, the nurse took my dad's, which I don't believe in any of this, but of course it's my reflection, something about it telling me about me. She took his blood pressure. It was high. He never has high blood pressure, and his sugar went really high. He has diabetes. So I kind of felt, well, between that and also the fact that the place that I was going to stay at didn't seem like the right place for me, I decided not to go, but I didn't lose sight that it would happen. And what did occur was that I let it go, and then my producer of the show that we do, with Insights Radio, decided that he was going to do an event called 1,000 Drums, and that's basically drumming for world peace. And, you know, I really dig the dude. I always say that this guy really is like a soul brother to me. He's a brother I never had. And it's not about a physical thing. It's just about this understanding that I think we both have. And we're really both on the same page when it comes to bringing our world to a higher place. And again, I don't mean higher in a sense of hierarchy. I mean a place of inner knowing that they are loved and they are loving and they have everything that they need to be who they really need to be. And so we're both here as messengers of love. So I always see them at their beautiful gathering that they have at his parents' restaurant he's in Ohio. He's in Columbus, Ohio, and it's called Garcia's International Restaurant. And they have drumming circles, and they have dancing, and they have open mic night. And it's like, oh, I want to be there every time I see it. And then so last week, he was kind enough to be one of the people to help me host the show. I didn't realize until the end that he was on hold all that time. And then when I finally did ask him about the happening, the event, and he told me, and you know, it's this Sunday coming up, the 28th of July. And I said, I want to come. And he said, why don't you? And I said, you know what? I'm going to go. So when that happened, I put it out there. Immediately, Iggy said, you got a place to stay. You can stay with me and my family. And then another girl that lives in the town, she contacted me. She said, do you have a place to stay? And she offered her house to another friend of mine that might show up from New York, a girl that I know. And I was like, oh, my God, now that's welcoming. That's the part of me that I know is about love. It's about acceptance. It's about receiving. It's about the in-breath and out-breath because it happens so perfectly. So right now I'm in my friend Stephen's, the one that I told you, guest room. And I feel like I'm like the most blessed person on the planet right now because I really feel like I'm on a journey of transmutation. And I really feel that it's already done, but I feel like I think I need to move through it the way I am by stopping here and then maybe driving another 8 hours and stopping somewhere else and then another 7 hours or 8 hours and then ending up in the restaurant and maybe doing some, as Iggy said, pre-drumming they're going to be doing the night before for the event. And then doing that and feeling 5 hours of drumming, primordial sound, I mean, resonating in an open park with rock and Mother Earth, and knowing that those beats and that love and that dedication and the honoring of each other in family that's going to come together. 1,000 drums. It's just mind-boggling to me. And, you know, Iggy believes that it's going to change the planet, and I really believe that they're going to rock our world. I believe that coming together as we are, as people in the heart, coming together, our picturing of all that we are, what I've been working towards, the aspects of me that are coming into the awareness, the ones of Iggy, the ones of his sister Rosa, and all the people that have been dedicating their lives to awakening the God within, showing up in this one space-time continuum and drumming for world peace. So if anybody is in the area, a lot of people are traveling from out of state to come, and the only thing that I noticed that was asked tonight on Iggy's site was that no alcohol, no drugs. This is a really pure, sacred moment. And it's going to be about honoring, you know, the lover within Mother Earth, as Iggy feels, because he is a shaman and he believes that Mother Earth is the God herself, you know. And to honor each other and to play together as one big family, you know. And I know, because I've had little drumming circles, I've experienced that when you come together in that consciousness, because it really is only of the mind, the drums, which is just the resonance of the being in the moment, and then and on and on and on and on, you know, as far as the aspects of itself that are playing the drums, it really does become, you know, a symmetry. It becomes a symphony of harmony, and there's no rehearsal, you know. And I know that's what's going to happen. And of course, we know that it is all about that, because, you know, what I do here is affecting my entire reality. Everyone in my world is actually an outpicturing of what I feel and think about me. So I can just imagine what's going to happen. And I really think that a lot of people are going to pick up on this and do it around the world. I did put it out for people in New York, but I did a radio show on Tuesday night. I was invited, and it's if you want to check it out, it's facebook.com/New York, which is ny.inspires, and that's the hostess that had me on the show. That's her page. And I got to tell you, she was so wonderful. The show was on open relationships, and it was very surprising to me, because I really didn't know that. I thought it was going to be just on relationships, but it turned out to be so perfect, because we were able to put it into a new perspective for a lot of her listeners, because, you know, as she said, a lot of people aren't on the same page as we are, and I want to go into that. Jordy is supposed to be joining me, and I think Sonny might come on. I'm not sure, but Jordy made the decision that he would be a part of this tonight. And we did want to talk about open relationships, because him and I both come from different perspectives, but we're very much in agreement that open relationships that you often see on these Facebook sites, you know, as far as status, relationship status, open. And I always like, you know, get a kick out of that, because I really, for me, it's like, what does that mean, you know? And, of course, you know, anybody who knows me and my teaching and what I live, relationships are only about how I relate to me, our pictures. So, it's just really interesting that we were able to, she researched it, and she had Wikipedia, and their interpretation, and then she had another one or two sites that had their interpretation, and then we had a few emailers that actually, you know, gave their opinions of what it was. And again, if you want to listen to that show, which I thought was a delightful show, she just does a really nice job, and I was a really happy guest. I really enjoyed being there. And that is, again, facebook.com/ny.inspires, and you'll be able to hook up with her and the wonderful things that she does. And I think her shows are on Tuesday nights. So anyway, while we wait for Jordy to come on, if there's any callers out there that want to call and give their
their opinions on anything or questions or answers, you know, please feel free. And again, the number is 646-595-3440. I do want to send some special hope and love and light and, you know, caring for a few people out there. And, you know, number one, my dad, you know, he's really coming together in the last week or so with all this beautiful help that he's created for himself to bring him to a better place. And then there's Larry, a man who's going through a personal crisis with some physical dis-ease that is causing him to be very frightened. And he's gone to another state this week, and I haven't heard, but he's supposed to be coming home tomorrow if he didn't need surgery. And so I'm going to send him so much love and so much friendship and so much caring, because he's a super beautiful aspect of the one that really feels like he's somehow lost something and he can't have trouble regaining his strength. So I want to send him a lot of love. And then, of course, there's my lover. I want to always tell him that no matter what, I love him. And so I have another little snippet that I can bring into play before Jordy comes. He went home to make bean soup, so I thought that was really cute. And he's really a character. And that he's going to go home and make bean soup and cool while he's putting the spices in the soup. So that was really cute. You know, aren't we all making soups in every moment, you know? With our magic, with our cauldrons, and putting a little bit of happiness and a little bit of sorrow and a little bit of, you know, a twinkle of glitter and fairy dust and such. But anyhow, on my site, I just noticed on one of my Facebook pages, which I really always love when I read these beautiful inspirations that I find or I create, either way, because it's still coming from me. And it basically says on one of these, dare to love yourself as if you were a rainbow with gold at both ends. And for me, that's really powerful, you know, that we are the pot of gold. You know, we are the illuminated aspect of God. We are the multifaceted diamond. You know, we're the spectrum of infinite light. And we know that the gold, it ground wherever we go, like I did with my friend Stephen, the house is open, come stay with us as long as you want. And they have a beautiful card with pictures and love and a beautiful pen and candies on the bed, just like as if I was at Disney. And that's the way I've always been my life. I've always given that way. I've always made everyone that came into contact with me on that level feel special about themselves. Because after all, there's no reason for me to be here if not to let myself state in every sense of the word how important it is for people in my reality to know how loved they are. That no one should ever feel that they're lonely or that they have nothing, because every one of us has the God within. Every one of us has the kingdom of heaven within. And all we need to do is, as conscious creators, is to remind aspects of ourselves who they are. You know, it might be just saying to somebody, you're beautiful, or oh, what a talent you are, or oh, look at that dress, oh, what a voice. You know, when I walk through the department stores, you know, usually I like to shop for food because I love to cook for my dad, and the little children singing, or pretty sandals, or handsome haircuts. And I constantly do that, especially for the little ones, because the little ones really are more conscious. They really do get it. And it triggers a response in them. It's a cellular trigger that makes them feel better about themselves and feel the authenticity of who they know they are on whatever level, the wonder child. Because we come in as wonder children. We come in as little Christ. And when you react, or when you act, I shouldn't say react, I don't like using that, but when you act in that way with children, it's amazing, because you can see right away how tuned in they are. You know, you can see right away whether they've already been conditioned to the point of not understanding and really losing sight of their true state. And so I like to do that. You know, my whole day is about bringing myself into states of experience where I can see the fruits of my labor, to know that what I'm seeing is what I'm feeling. And so, you know, being in this beautiful room that, you know, you probably pay $400 or $500 for this space that I'm in tonight on the water. And I am seeing it because I am feeling worthy to receive it, because I'm giving this to myself. And I can call it, you know, Stephen and Glenn, or I can call it, you know, the Four Seasons Hotel, or I can call it, you know, my, one of my homes. But the reality is it's just an out picturing of me, what I feel about me. And so that's really basically what I share all the time on the show. I really want to share and make every aspect of me that doesn't understand that they are making everything be what they want it to be, consciously or not. And I say want in a general term because we don't want pain, we don't want suffering, but we are asking for it. We're asking for it if we don't get that something is not right if we're not seeing what we want consciously. So we still are asking for it. We're wanting it to make itself known, to show us on some deep level how close we are to heaven, how close we are to the God I am. And, you know, in Course in Miracles, I taught this for years. And as I taught it, people would just keep saying the aspects of me that were still in doubt and fear. What are you talking about? That person is a messenger. He's yelling at me. You know, he just slapped that woman. How could that be good? You know, and I'd say that's just a messenger. You're just seeing what you feel about you, unbeknownst to you, out picture. Because if you react to it, you don't get it. If you react to it, that means that you really believe that that happens outside of you. And you want to fight, you want to pick a fight. And the reality is the more you pick the fight, the more you see what you don't want to see. Because what you fight against, you give life to. It's breathing life into it. Pointing fingers at someone is saying, you are my God, and you're pissing me off. You're really upsetting me. So you give all your power in the moment to that aspect that you call the bully or whatever. It's just you denying in you that you have been bullying yourself forever. You've been bullying yourself for years if bullies are in your life. You've been feeling like a victim. And I really got that rude awakening about when I decided to make the decision to go on this trip a month ago from a lady who was an angel. I met her because I thought she had a space for me, and she was talking to me, and she just said, you know, I said, I'm not a victim. And she said, well, if you're not a victim, then you are, because what you deny is your shadow. And I was like, wait a minute. I teach people how to love. I know who I am. She said, yeah, but you just said you're not a victim. You don't need to deny what's not true. You don't need to deny what you believe. You could just be certain that you're not a victim. Why do you have to talk about it? And that's so powerful, because for me, it was really telling me, you know, you've had enough of this now. Now you cannot pretend that you can't see that you're acting in ways that are causing you and yourself and your body and your world harm. Because anytime I go into drama, I want to see the soap opera. I want to play the part. I want to see that one, the bad guy, and that's the good guy, and she's the pretty one, and she's the ugly one. And that's not what we're here for. We're here to remember God. We're here to remember love. And so I went really wide circle with this one, but the truth of the matter is that what I really wanted to focus on, and I don't want to at all demean, mock, or undermine in any way the show that I was a guest on Tuesday, the one on open relationships. I want to just make clear that there is no one outside of me that doesn't get it. And that compromising is actually insulting your own intelligence. Because if you really believe that there's somebody outside of you that has less knowledge than you, then you're lost in the woods. Those aspects of you are simply performers showing you how easy it is to get lost in the woods. I always often use the Pinocchio, always use it. It's kind of silly, but I use Pinocchio because I really believe it was such a beautiful metaphor of a conditioned state, you know. We're puppets. We're taught to be the puppet. And then we get a moment of freedom. And the freedom takes us back into the illusion of power and things and possession and good guys and bad guys. And all of a sudden, we're lost. And so we lie. We live a lie. And that lie is, I am more important than him because I have more money. Or I'm more important than her because I'm like a model. I'm beautiful. My physical body is great. And all of that is just a preconceived idea that we are bodies and certain kinds of bodies. And so that makes itself known in our perceptual reality. And so when we look at that and we start realizing that everything I see is of me, I can't stay where I'm not. I cannot be in an unhealthy environment if I am healthy. I cannot have an unhealthy body if I have a healthy mind. My world cannot be in conflict if I'm in peace. And it's very powerful. So to hear somebody say to somebody, I can't accept what you're saying, because when you say that, you're very abstract and people around you don't understand it. And, you know, after all, we have to be gentle with them because they need to, you know, be okay where they are because, you know, after all, they're in the human body and, you know, nobody's perfect. And, you know, when you talk like you do, Amanda, when you talk about being God, that's frightening. Most people want to run because they don't get you. They think that you're the devil. They think that you're, you know, really not in your right mind. So for me, I speak the truth because I live the truth. It's really funny because my dad talks often about the fact that I don't do TV, so he has nothing to talk to me about. He watches, you know, everything. Anything from wrestling to that show where everybody screams in the day. And Dr. Oz and Judge Judy and everybody. And so he says, I have nothing to talk to you about. And then the medicine, I have nothing to talk to you about. And then the doctor, I have nothing to talk to you about. And now I'm at Steven's house, and they're watching a reality show that you haven't watched television for 5 years. Well, if you lived here, you'd be watching it every day. I don't understand how parts of me are still in this mindset, and they actually, I'm watching the interaction with the television. They're having communication with the television. They're actually talking as if they know the person. It is part of their life.
you know? And so it's not a good or bad, but for me, for my conceptual mind, I find it so hard to understand how one becomes conscious as I am, and I still see in my perceptual reality aspects of myself that are absolutely in the matrix of fear. That they're absolutely caught in a pattern, playing the same music, different shows, different language, different people. But it's all basically caught in a program. They're actually in the television, like that movie with Jim Carrey. What was the name of that movie? Pleasantville, I think, or The Truman Show. I get such a kick out of it because it's really funny. It really is funny to think that these shows, these movies, which I never really dig because I think it's crazy. You're sitting in a movie theater for 2 hours and I could be experiencing authenticity, you know, playing in the sand or going to the beach and dancing. I mean, it's all the same nonsense, but for me, it's more of me being the actor rather than the audience. And so these movies like The Truman Show or Pleasantville or now The Lake House have so much impact on me because I really see that as an aspect of me so clearly projected in such a perfect way on this screen that I cannot deny it. You know, when you're in a world and you have things going on and you have relatives coming and you have food to cook and you have places to go, like I'm on my little journey, you know, you don't really get the fact, I think I lost what I was going to say, that when you're performing acts of doing in this reality, you really believe that you are doing in this reality, and when in fact it's all happening in the mind. And when it's happening in the mind, and you get that it's in the mind, that's where you have the ability to be lucid, to be awake in the dream. And that's where I was 3 years old and I can move my dress from the doorknob to my bed because I love that red and white polka dot dress. And nothing told me that I couldn't do it. So I did it. I did it with my mind. I actually saw it as a prop. So the more that I'm talking tonight, the more I realize that what I've come to share for me, to listen, to hear, was that our world is the stage. And everyone is a player. How many times have we heard that, you know? And that all we need to do is redirect our attention on that which is playing the part best for us, and we'll see more of the same. We'll see more of the same. And what does that mean? We'll see more of the same? I don't know. It means if I feel sad and I'm going to see little crying kids all day long in the supermarket, and I'm going to be rejected by somebody that I expect is going to come see me tonight, or I'm going to all of a sudden get a bellyache and feel like I have to lay down because I'm going to start crying because it's hurting so much and I got butterflies. But when I realize that I am the actor as well as the director and the stage is mine, I can do whatever I want with it. And all those players are just aspects of me performing for me outwardly where I can't see inwardly. Can't see it. Why can't I see it? Because I really believe that it's out there. I don't believe it's in here. For some reason, I know that I am speaking to myself and everything in this room is an outpicturing of what I know and feel to be true about me in this moment. The elegance of this room. The bed is absolutely divine. I could not have purchased a mattress that's more comfortable. It's just mind-boggling.
And I see, I look around and I see all different aspects of me reflecting to me different aspects of what I feel about me. And now take that. This is a microcosm of that. But now take it out into the world. Start with, I always like to start with the body. The body is a microcosm. It's the perfect reflection of the way I feel about me. It'll show me my defects. It'll show me my strength. It'll show me my beauty. It'll show me my ugliness. And it's all perceptual, and it can be shifted like that. Just change your mind, change your world. So, then there's the room that I'm in. Then there's the card that I drop. Then there's the people that are around me. Then there's the world condition. Then there's the weather condition. Then there's the money situation and the lovers and the relationship. They're all about how I relate to me. Do I accept me? Do I reject me? Do I want me? Do I not want me? And you know that if you're listening to this, on some level, you have experienced this. Because you cannot hear what you don't know. You can't hear it. And even though you think that it's new, it was always a reality for you. You always knew that everything outside of you was you. But you're just remembering. You're having a state of remembrance of what you always knew to be true. That everything in your world is contingent upon you. The circumstances are created by what you feel about yourself, and it is not solid. It is not something that has to be forever. It is something that can be changed within the blink of an eye, but the change has to be so dramatically body, mind, and spirit. And I've said, I'm going to change that to mind, spirit, and body. I'm going to change it again to spirit, mind, and body. The spirit I am needs to assimilate, to feel, the feeling tone of what I am is in order to see it. And you can even try that if you want as an example, a little testing ground. Try thinking of something really bad that you don't want, something that can hurt you, and see what happens. See how fast you'll bring that in. You may stub your toe within a second. You might, do something that you never dreamed you'd do and you'd hurt yourself, or something shows up to give you some kind of a pain. Or try it in the opposite and try looking for, like I always did with people, tell them to look for color, you know. I always share this story, which I love it. I'm going to share it now. I don't know where Jordan is, whether he'll be on or not, so I'm going to just keep going. When I used to walk the mall with one of my friends, we actually became friends, and she was very, very into the belief systems that I had, and she was in a relationship with someone who was basically all about, you know, exercise in the world, this is real, and politics, and put on Fox News and whatever, whatever. And so she was with me, she'd feel the sense of peace that was really her authentic self. So she liked being with me, and I liked being with her because she'd mirror back to me what I've come to realize, which many people didn't, because Ananda's abstract. You know, she believes that she is it. Anyway, we were walking the mall one day, and I said to her, okay, pick a color. And she said, what do you mean? I said, just decide that you're going to see a color for the next half an hour. And she said, okay, I'm going to pick purple. And I said, okay, I'm going to pick green. And within seconds, she started seeing purple. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I said, yeah, isn't that cool? Look at the green, look at the green, look at the green, look at the green. And within maybe 5 minutes, she started seeing the green and not seeing the purple anymore. Because my power to move her was more powerful to her than her power to move her. in that moment, I became a false god that she was following. And the more she followed me, the more she saw that which was not her color. And we do that. And that's why sickness becomes part of our reality. Because the reality is we are bodies of mind. We come from the mind. We're born through the mind. And when we're born, we come out as we were made to come out by the giver of all and the vessels that either accepted us or rejected us. And when we come out maybe with a little dent in the head because we had to be forced to bow. Or we come out with, the preemie too early. We came out too early, so we're not, weren't ready to be born. Or we come out too late and we have complications and we're pretty sick. And the reality is that everything that happened in that reality will now be printed in our DNA and we will become that reality. We will become it. And the more that we live in that environment, the more we will become it until we have no other choice but to be what we were told to be. And I really feel by sharing this, I'm really getting a lot tonight. I know I'm just talking to myself. And it's not even me talking. It's the giver of all that's letting me speak the words that I need to hear to remember the God I am. It's so very powerful. When I understand that everything in my perceptual reality is here to give me the gift of love. And more importantly, the gift of life, because there cannot be no life without love. And love is the acceptance that I am, is my experience. It is about accepting the giver of all gift of love. And it may not come out as the physical eyes and ears and sensory data of being may want it to become. But it is going to happen the way it's going to happen. And it's going to happen the way it's going to happen because when we're unconscious, it's an automatic replay of what was. It's already guided and signed and confirmed with a notary stamp. And the only way to change that is to wake up, to become lucid in this dream we call life, is to actually watch as we walk our day and see how clearly we deny love. Because in truth, most of the aspects of the one don't see that they're love. They see that they're not love. And they see that they have to work for what they want and pretty themselves for what they want and powerful themselves to get what they want. When in truth, there's nothing outside of them to give them anything. Earlier, just a moment before, Jordan and I had a little conversation because he said he was going to be on the show, and he was talking like he was on the show, and I was like, hold that, hold that thought, that's really powerful. And we were talking about the very fact of the open relationship, and how when I was on the show with this angel the other night, I absolutely stayed true to my knowing and my beliefs that the entire concept of open relationship is basically what I live. And by that I mean I live loving my world. I live with the intent to have a relationship so deeply connected to love and to God and to me that I can't help but see it everywhere I go. And I was saying that, and so he brought up the concept of love being, open relationship, love being like somebody just wanting to have a lot of sex. And it's funny because that's basically what I shared on the show in my response to somebody's question or statement about open relationship. They had said that that's what it is, I'm in a relationship, but I really do want to be with other people. To have sex, to have a physical relationship. And then I said, well, but that's not love then. That's not joining for love. That's not an open relationship. That's just somebody that doesn't have a commitment and they just want to have sex. And then Jordy, you know, added to that, but the reality was the one most beautiful thing that came from it was that it's all in the mind. So even sex is a fantasy. Even open relationship on that level is a fantasy. It's all happening in the mind. I want to divert from loving you, my husband, so I'm going to put myself in a state of mind where I'm having another man make love to me. It's all happening in the mind. So there's really nothing happening. Even the husband is a mindset. So it's like setting myself up to pretend I'm committed when I'm not, and pretend I'm having a physical relationship, which I'm not. It's all about I am afraid to accept the love I am. I'm afraid. Because if I accept that I can love me enough to have that mirror look at me and say, I love you, I may get really hurt. That aspect of me can reject me, and if they reject me, I'm going to die. When in fact, there's no one that can reject me but me. There's no one that can fulfill me but me. And in truth, there's no me. God is fulfillment. The giver of all, / God, / universal intelligence, infinite field of potential, is complete. It doesn't need me. I hear that a lot. I have to stay alive because you know what? People need me. I have to go out and do that. What would they do without me? I have to feed the birds and the squirrels. They need to be fed. What would this world do without me? There would be no world without me. There would be no world. Because in truth, the world is simply an object of what I feel about me. And it is relative to my understanding. It's a relative reality that I can only see and feel what I believe. I can only see and believe what I feel. It's all the same. So I believe that men can't be loving. So what am I going to say? I can't believe that man can't be loving because I can't accept the fact that I can be loved. I'm not lovable. And if I don't feel lovable, what am I going to attract? And if not attract, what am I going to make known through my world? You're not lovable. I'm not. You're not. I am. You are. It's as simple as that. It's a verb. It's a verb. I am is a verb. It's a verbal, I think it's what we call an adjective. I don't even know. God. I am is loved. I am is not loved. And that determines everything. That's everything. What I feel about me is what I say. That is the relationship. The only relationship there is. We have 5 minutes left. I guess that this is wonderful because I know that tomorrow in my mind is the next stage of development in my new state of awareness that I am free, free as God wants me to be, as they say in A Course in Miracles. I'm as free as God would have me be. I have somebody on the line. Hold on 1 second. Hello.
Hi.
Who is this, please?
Why, this is Creation himself. Who do you think?
How are you? We have like 5 minutes left. Do you want to take over?
Oh, I just called in to see how the show went. I was actually quite busy with bean soup this evening, believe it or not.
I did mention that to the listeners that you were putting seasoning in beef soup, which is really cool. I think it's,
yes.
I mean, beef, not beef soup, bean soup.
yes, it's very important you get the difference. Right.
Yes. Anyway, so I just said this. I want to just leave this with you, and then you can take over if you'd like. I just came to the awareness that, you know, I am is a verb, you know. I am, or is it an adjective? Or what is it called? Like a phrase, some kind of phrase. I am is a verb. So I am is my experience. So I am not lovable, so I will not be loved. I am lovable, so I will be loved. It's so basic. What I am, what I believe I am, becomes my experience. And so with that in mind, what do you want to add to that, Jordan?
Well, you know, I just, if we're going to go there, I've just been focusing primarily on the, I've been trying to discern about the difference between the two energies that comprise all of existence. Because clearly, you know, we obviously understand the balance of life, of existence, the yin and the yang of it, so to speak. It's always easy to picture it in the yin-yang symbol with the black and the white and the shapes that fit each other perfectly. And this is the way of all things. All things fit together perfectly. And that's in, even in the space we inhabit. I guess they call that antimatter, right? The space around the physical objects that we see. We have a word for that, antimatter. I think that's what the word is. I'm
okay.
Not sure if that's the...
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, let's call it that for this conversation. There's matter and antimatter, okay? But there could be another more accurate word that somebody already made up. Anyways, the point being, you know, you hold your hand up in front of you, right? Everybody can do this. Make a C shape with your hand, and you're looking at your hand, right? But now understand that all that's happened is that all the energy in the space has conformed to the form that you see in the C in your hand. You understand? So this is just an example, but all things are this way. For every mold you make, there is the object that you pour into the mold, you know. And we do this. We make containers constantly, down to the smallest thing. It's one container into another container into another container, including our own forms. You know, your body is literally a form that contains the being of your self, you know, which is just a compartmentalization of the energies around us. You know, we compartmentalize a particular of the energy that is life. But the life around us is definitely that which is within us. It's just we're compartmentalizing the notion of our particular self, which, of course, we are only the individual thoughts of God, you know. Each of us is a thought of God, you know. God has a thought, bingo, here we are, you know. One thought, one person. But I'm getting too literal by saying that, of course, but it's a nice romanticized notion of life, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we can go further. We don't have to stay with the 60s. If you want to keep talking, feel free. Unless you're going to go eat your beef soup.
Oh, well, I feel free, just like you were talking about when I first picked up the, well, the soup, that's nice of you to think of the soup. It's cooling down right now, so. But let me tell you something.
Right.
This house has the best smell of bean soup you ever smelled in your life. It really does. Well, to go back to my thought about the energy, because I've been really thinking about this, you know. I was thinking about there's the forms, you know, there's the antimatter and the matter and the shapes and the containment of one shape within another shape, and how there's always that led me to the thought of the dominant and the submissive. You know, there's a dominant force which in turn seeks the submissive force, which will go into submission against its dominance. You understand? And this is the way of all energy. Energy can only go towards the submissive. If two energies that are both dominant collide, they actually just bounce off of each other. You know, there's not necessarily one that submits. But the dominant energy is replaced by the submissive energy, because the dominant energy, when it bounces away, what it leaves behind is submission, you see. But it was the same thing. You understand what I mean? The energy itself, which is God, is the same thing. of course, this is what I'm saying is there's no such thing as good and evil because it's all God. It's all the same energy, but when it's in the act of moving the singular direction in one direction. But see, that even confuses me because there's no such thing as direction. That's a term that we use. Direction doesn't even exist. So regardless of this, there is the dominant force, and then there's the submissive force. And maybe that's all there is. Maybe it's not even a direction to it, you know. But, of course, it's the same thing because it's only the flow. The one, I mean, I'm going to use the word direction because I'm naive and I'm just a frail human. My brain can't comprehend the proper way of expressing it, except that I do express it when I emanate the force that I emanate. Then I'm emanating the dominant force. And I also can very well, you know, be the submissive force. And I have the equal, I guess we all do. We all have an equal amount of ability to become as dominant or as submissive as we can be, which could be, you know, infinitely so. I'm not sure. I mean, I wonder if each individual person has all the power in the universe to be that dominant of a force, but just doesn't simply realize it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's easy to think, oh, I'm so able to do it. But then why wouldn't everyone be so able to do it? You know? I mean,
right.
I'm not so arrogant to think that it's me. I'm not so arrogant
well,
to think that I'm the only... Go ahead.
Before you came on, that's exactly what I was saying. I was saying that everyone has the power to really bring forth that anything that, you know, that is meant to, that, you know, wants to be made forth, be made to be brought forth. And that what I was saying is that, you know, for me, it, you know, I'm conscious, I'm awake to the fact that I am, is my experience. What I feel does make itself known in my reality. But, you know, and it just boggles my mind that so many aspects of me are in these patterns that, as Pinocchio, I use that terminology. I mean, the concept of the, you know, the mindset of Pinocchio is so profound. You know, we're puppets, and then we, you know, we come to life, we get freedom, we think we're, you know, we have freedom, and we go into the world, and we attain,
wow.
And we want power, and then all
you
of
know
a sudden,
great?
Uh-oh, we lie to ourselves. Wow.
I didn't even get to speak what you just said, but. You know, you remember I mentioned it before, and right when you were saying it, I was thinking the same thing. My thoughts were going to exactly that reality. I was going to explain to your listeners that very thing that you're actually doing right now. It's very literal, the marionette puppet.
I use
that
all the time. I use it all the time. I've always used it. And the lie, you know, that we lie to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves every time we choose to deny the power that be within. You know? And the concept
I don't know if we're denying it, though. Because I think that by you saying that, right, think about what you're really saying. What are you really saying? You're really saying that you have a choice. And that's the ego of mankind coming through you that you say that. It really is arrogant of us to think about this, Ananda. Here we are, right? Here we are helpless in existence. The two of us, you know, our beings, ourselves in this eternal situation. And we had no say in that matter. We had no say in the matter of the planet. We had no say in the matter of anything that's even really around us. It's all simply manifestations of creation. I mean, that's what it is, including this very conversation. See, we only have the ability to manifest the will of life because that's what fills us, is life. That's what we are, is life. And all we can do as manifestations of this reality is marvel at it and be amazed at it and say, wow, how amazing is this? I mean, how amazing is this? What a rush, right? What a freaking rush. And, I mean, who is it that benefits? What is it that benefits from us having that realization? It's our self, correct? our self. But what is our self? Take it a step further. What is, when we say self, Ananda, are you talking about you that's in that body when you say self? Or are you talking about our collective conscious? You know?
I don't even believe it's a collective conscious. I believe that God is I am. I believe the giver of all is, in fact,
well,
the stone of
I meant,
the me I am,
I meant God. By saying collective conscious, I mean God. I mean, I think that literally this is the experience of God. I really do. I think that for us to even have the arrogance to say that we are actually separate from God is ridiculous. Who are we? What do we think that we are separate from God? What makes us so arrogant to think that we're so unique? Look, God is everything, right? God is all things. God is the collective of all existence, okay? So we're going to say that we're separate from that? Ananda.
Well, that's the reality. God is I am. I mean, that's my terminology. I've used it.
Right.
And I believe
I know.
That. You know, I'm just
You're
a channel.
Right.
And so if I am is my experience, and my experience is just the receptive principle, the receiver, so that's what I shared on last week's show, that we need the female receptive principle to accept the God love and everything. I always say,
mm-hmm.
He's my love, or sometimes I scream, you know, you are the you're the man of my life, and I see it as a male principle.
Yeah.
You're the giver of all. You want me to have everything. Wake me up. Wake me up and give me the world that you would will for me to have, which is just the experience that everyone is experiencing, and that's where the concept of denial comes in. I believe, and this is a very literal statement in the sense of the brain mind, not in the true sense of mind, which is God. I mean the brain sense that actually believes that it has the power to make things occur outside of God, like you said, and I shared that just before you called, that, you know, I got to do, to have, to be. And it's all about power, and it's all about I am making something happen. And in fact, you are doing nothing but denying God. And God is denying himself in those moments.
Hmm?
What?
You're doing such a great job. I just was going to, I had a thought, and then I went to drink some water, and the water was gone, and I was sad. We are only instruments of God, you know. For us to even be worried about, oh no, what if we don't do this or don't do that, you know, don't realize this or that, it's sadly irrelevant.
Doesn't matter.
Because we're acting out God's will regardless of whatever it is that we think we're doing. You know, we can think, oh, I'm not gonna do whatever. No, you are. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do by sitting there doing that. You're doing it already.
That's very true.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about that is that to know that that is God's will makes whatever you're doing the most amazing thing that's ever been done. Absolutely most amazing thing that's ever been done, because you are acting out a manifestation of God's will. You know?
You know, I don't know if the show is still recorded, just to let you know. I don't know if it's still being recorded. But I want to tell you, this is just, there's a guy I know who teaches A Course in Miracles like I do. And every time you see Bill, he was one of the coolest dudes. He'll say, Ananda, this has been the best day of my life. Or if he's eating something, Ananda, this is the best cake I've ever had in my life. And that's what he says about everything.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
It's so cool. You know, everything, this is the best pat cake I've ever had.
I started doing a similar kind of a thing, I guess, but it's just, well, I came to the realization that one of the ways to improve your life, if you're, you know, just trying to improve your life on a day-to-day level in kind of a realistic way for what most people could understand, if you if you say there's always a bright side, because you remember that there's always two halves, you know, the yin and the yang and of it and all, and there's always a bright side. So if you remember, whatever the situation is, there's always two halves to look at it, and there's always a bright side. When we say bright side, it's an interesting side note that, of course, as our molecules of life speed up, they become hot. As things become hot, they become white hot. And eventually, we have a light that's so bright that it's infinitely white, it's infinitely hot, it's infinitely fast moving. It's the faster moving energy that we call love. That's what we feel when our own molecules speed up. That's what we consider to be love. And God, of course, is the energy itself. And it's moving, you know, in as far as what we can understand. And when it moves as fast and as, you know, brilliantly as God is, that's the whitest light you can have, which I'm sure has some play into the you know, saying of go into the light and all that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You
yeah,
know, when I was driving out
how it all goes together.
When I was driving out of my town, do you hear me?
Mm-hmm,
I was
yeah.
driving out of my neighborhood yesterday, and I got to the light. There's like a light, and then there's like it's like a dead end, and then there's a light on either side. And I was at the light, and somebody passed the light, and somebody came out of the other dead end. Two big trucks, and they both collided right in front of me. And it was so surreal because I knew that I stopped the picture. And I know that, I don't know if you're going to dig it or care about what I'm saying, but I saw, and this has happened to me many a times, how my position of being actually stopped me from being involved in that accident. And there was debris that was flying all over it, like big pieces of truck all over. And I was only like maybe 2 feet away from it. I actually saw the pieces just go away from me. Like they go up in the air and they go in another direction. Because I was so not seeing it as real. I knew that it was just a setup. And instantaneously, there was no thought about it. And I immediately pulled in the parking lot and I just sat there for 15 minutes. You know, like, wow,
right.
That was really...
Your shape and all the shapes that were coming out of that situation didn't correlate. There was no fitting. If there was a shape in that mess that was the perfect size and shape for you, you would have had a perfect fit. You would have fit right into it, but that wasn't the case.
And you know, it reminded me of that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, the one that like was really far out. One word it was. I'm into movies tonight. I never do movies. You know,
what are we talking about?
It's a movie that Leonardo DiCaprio did like maybe 2 years ago. It was one word, and it was like all about mirrors breaking and everything. Do you remember
mirrors
that movie?
Are we talking about Inception? What about dreams?
Inception, yeah. That's it.
What?
And it was like that, you know. It was the movie Inception, you're right.
Oh, okay.
That was really cool, and that's exactly what that's happened to me not more than once, that you could see that there is like almost like a scrim, or there's just like and I was sharing this earlier, and it came out so profound that, you know, when you realize that your attention does determine what you'll see, that because I'm so focused on God realization, I'm so focused that God is I am, that it showed itself for what it was, the phony that it was. It was just props playing, it's, you know, being moved around by the God I am for me to show me, look, it's just a dream.
I think it's fascinating the way that we allow the televisions to tell us stories all night and all day. And I very rarely watch television. But whenever I happen to catch some of the news, you know, I look at it and I say to myself, how in the world are, you know, millions of individual people with individual brains all possibly interested in these same, you know, couple of stories that they're storytelling us on these televisions? I mean, we've all got lives. We've all got things we're doing. Yet people will turn on the television and they'll put on that news and then they'll watch and hear this story. And it's just fascinating to think that the millions of individual people who are actually living the real lives that we are living, like in our country, don't understand that that's what America is what they're doing.
Do you know that I shared this exact thing before you got on about the fact that I'm sitting there watching my friends watching the reality show, and I said, I don't do television for 5 years. And they said, if you lived here, you would. And they were actually talking to the television as if they were in that reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I was saying,
much it.
They don't know. They don't know
that
they're not in it.
Right. You're exactly right. Everybody, like, they watch the stuff on the news, and then they decide that that's what's supposed to be their reality, is the stuff that they hear through the television. Think about it. We've never met any of these people. We've never met the president. We've never met the congressman. I mean, some of us have. I'm not saying nobody has. But the point is, the people that you're, most people that we're talking about here, haven't met any of these people, haven't been in any of these places, haven't seen. But you know, they want to adopt that as the most important thing in their life. The most important thing. And it just
they become that's what people do in the movie theater as well. They become the movie. They actually leave their own state of presence, and they go into the movie as if it is part of their reality. And books do the same thing. But watching this as the observer, as they were actually talking about Ashley, and look at that.
Wow.
She belongs out of here. What is she doing there? You know, like, why?
You know what we're talking about here? You know what we're talking about here? What we're talking about is that is what my thought of the moment says we, but I'm sure it's not just we, it's everything, all things provide a reality to each other. That's how the energy moves. The energy that we are seeks a reality, and the reality it seeks is the most desirable reality. But it's desirable only in the fact that it's appealing. And it's only going to be appealing in that it has something to not be. And the thing that it is not is exactly the opposite of what it is. So the energy that is active is going to want to become. And the energy that is submissive, of course, is not becoming. It is basically providing the exchange, the heat exchange. The submissive energy releases the heat to the dominant energy, which comes from the action, which comes from the speeding up. So what we seek is the speeding up of our energy. We seek for our energy to be sped up. That's what drives energy. It's driven towards the quickening, as they say. The quickening, that's what the quickening is. It's literally the energy speeding up that we are. And that's what drives us to always want to choose the brighter side. It gets so tied together when you start thinking about it.
But see, that's very, I mean, when you're speaking, I'm seeing a lot of different things occurring in my mind. And it really is the entire universe realized, because everything really is the more that you quicken, the more you awaken to the energy of the formation of energy, the more you'll see what you're feeling. And the feeling tone is very important, because really that to me is the spirit I am. And the spirit I am is the authenticity of the you talked about before, the categorizing or the the archetypes, let's say. So the archetype I am, or the goblet, that the shape of my goblet will in fact bring the wine that best suits, you know, the God I am. It'll bring through it to fit into that goblet. Or I'm thinking of too many things at one time. It's really mishmash. But what I feel by what you just said was very profound, because I kept on getting like ahas while you were talking about it. it is really about that match, and it really is about submission. But like I said, for me, it is about the giver of all bestowing upon me its desire to make something known. And, you know, again, that's words, but for me, I best understand that the way I express it, because for me, I really see that it's not me. I really see that I'm just the receptacle or the receiver of that which wants to be made known through me. And it's never about doing. It is always about being the female that pretties herself for the male, that she beautifies herself. She makes herself beautiful, and she's waiting to receive the full experience of the male giving her his all, you know. And that's not only the female in the body, and you know, my friend Lydia constantly says, stop saying female and male. And I say, but that's my understanding. It's relative to what I've been given. And for me, it is the receptive female, you know.
You want to know something, though? You're right, though, because it is a female energy, if you want to call it a female energy, but it's not about being a man or a woman. Because now
right.
I understand how people can be in, you know, gay relationships quite easily. It really only boils down to dominant and submissive energies. And I suppose even between men and women, those roles can be reversed, you know. And the irony
I
is
share
that...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, well... I was just going to say the irony is that, yeah, it could be even the same people could even switch roles, you know, and it could just flow back and forth between the two of them, you know, different dominances at different points. And
yeah,
you were just
family
saying,
dynamics. Yeah, what I did, family dynamics most of my life. I mean, that we do play roles. But for me, I was always the male, and I attracted female men. And they became more receptive, and I was always the giver. And then one day I woke up and I realized that I'm the female. I want to be given. And that's why, for me, it has to be God, because I really believe that no one, I've done all the male that I could do, because I was so male. I was always giving and bringing forth everything that I was told to bring forth. And I never was able to receive fully. So, you know, and then I realized it's not about being female or male. It's just that my energy was always about creation, just like you. You know, I was creating constantly. You know, come on, bring it on. What do I want to do now? I'll move that, do that. Yeah, okay. And I never allowed myself to be the female and have the male principle called God realized to a man. And now it's like, yes, I want that. I want to see that physical manifestation of God for me. Because I know that I am the female, and I also know that so are you, and so is he, and so is they. But I believe that if I'm born in a female body, I am supposed to be female. I'm supposed to be female principle. Now that I got it, I played the other part for a very long time, so it's very profound that you said that. And I believe that gay relationships, I'm sorry to say, are not about what we're talking about. It's about sex. We go right back to sex. Because if I can be with you because you're a male and have sex only with you, it's about sex. If I can't have sex with a female, being a male, then it's not about love. It's about sex. So that's always
been
like my thing.
I would go the exact opposite then in this case, and I would actually say that it's specifically because it's not about the sex that the relationship can occur. Because remember, I don't believe that sex and relationships are tied together. So for me, I think that two people that are of the same sex would only live together and cohabitate together because of a non-sexual reason. And then they also have the added bonus that they happen to like that kind of sex too. But I think that if they're going to have a relationship, it's still going to bow down to the fact that one is going to be a very dominant energy and the other is going to be a very submissive energy. And that's why the relationship will work, because that's the only reason why any relationship between any two objects, living or what we consider inanimate, it's the same situation. And I'll give you an example. If you throw a rock or a bowling ball into a piece of glass, guess which one was dominant and guess which one's submissive. If you hold a piece of a flame up to a piece of paper, guess which energy was dominant? Guess which energy was submissive? You see my point? So all things are this way, including those particular types of relationships. For you, I think for anyone to say that one group is gay and one group is not is honestly a little ignorant in this day and age. I think what we're all trying to feel is that we're all equal. I mean, we've always wanted to have this equal thing. And I think that, ironically, most people, apparently, definitely most people, well, only if I go by the television now. Not if I go by my own actual real-life experiences, but what, let's not even say most. Let's just say that that's the reality and not even say most of anything else. It's just a matter of people, beings, realization needs to be that you realize that the balance of all things lies in the fact that it is a flow and a balance and a bouncing and a movement of two energies, a dominant and a submissive. As long as we all realize.
And that's absolute. I mean, that's the truth. But for me, what I'm trying to understand, this is all my life because I've been in theater and, you know, a lot of my friends are gay. And one of them, when I was young, I was madly in love with. And I'd say to him, but I don't understand it. You love me. You buy me flowers. You take me out. Why can't you just be with me? And he'd say, because I don't want to have sex with you. You know, it's not I can't be physical with you. You know, it's not and I'm like, but you're very dominant with you with me, and I'm very feminine when I'm with you. So it's not, you know, it's not about that. So what role, I don't understand, I still don't understand it. You know, and this is the ego talking, because this is not Ananda. But
right.
It baffles me. I don't get it.
Well, it's the energy that drives the bodies to want to act out as marionettes in the sexual play. The energy is what controls the nervous system. The nervous system is what controls the muscle movements. So if the hands that pull the strings, so to speak, which is the soul, if that's not pulling the strings to make the body do that dance, it's not going to do that dance. And it's only the human ego that makes it think, A, that they have a control over that, and B, that they don't already have everything, and the fact that they're sharing existence with that other version of themselves. Because, you know, you had that relationship with this male friend. You had your good moments. You spent time in close proximity. You had that, but you didn't see that you had it. You had it every second. You still have it now, as a matter of fact. Right now you have it. Right now, as deeply as you ever could. So you understand.
Because I really get it. I really get it. I really get it. And I got it then, too. You know, why are we bringing the physical into this when it's about love? And it's because I can't even see you that way because I want that body. And that body is an illusion. And we talked about this earlier. It's all a fantasy anyway. So I really can't accept the fact, for me, that there, like you said earlier, there is no really, you know, classifications of heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, asexual. Asexual is probably the closest, but the reality is that it is all about love and energy.
So we think in our heads that we want to go and get a glass of water. So we think that we're getting up and walking over and deciding to pick up a glass and fill it with water, a physical action, but we're not. What we're doing is receiving the energy that says we are thirsty, or whatever the energy version of that is. I don't even want to use words to describe it, but we receive an impulse. We react to the impulse. And everything that happens after that reaction was controlled by the impulse in the first place, which was not ours to have. It was a something we received. We bounced into us, you know? So we don't act out, we react. So that's why if you're talking about something like sex, you have to look at it from that perspective. We only react. We don't act.
I don't believe
that.
I believe that. But I don't believe that. For me, reaction has become almost something not to be in the consciousness I am. I'm talking about the physical. I'm not talking about the true essence of being. Action is to be in the moment with the desire realized. I mean, if I stay in action, which means that I just simply allowed that which means something to be made known through me. That's action. As soon as I react, I'm in another I'm in a matrix. I'm in a program. I'm in an impulse, as you said. And I don't think that that's authenticity for me. And I might be way beyond you, way below you, way back in the you know, woods somewhere about this. Maybe I'm not developed enough. But I really don't believe that reaction is anything but a program response to something that is not pure and simple. I don't know.
I have a very simple answer for you. And I would give this answer to any woman that ever chose a man that was leaning towards receiving the type of energy that other men reflected. If a woman chooses a guy like that, then there's a reason for it. And it's because they're looking for a rejected feeling. And it's because they had that feeling when they were a child, when they were a little girl, on their daddy. And you're asking me why you would be choosing a man who was rejecting you, is what you're asking me.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. There's no doubt that everything that happened is about that. So, yeah, that's the true essence. But I thought I was talking about something else, but obviously, no, you were right on track. That's good. That's cool.
Yeah, because the last thing you said that rang in my ears was that you didn't understand. You said to this day, you still don't understand. And you've all this time been thinking that was about him and what he wanted, because that's the first thing you brought up was what he wanted. But you're telling
that
me
is so good.
Yeah, you're telling me as if you were just standing around waiting for him. And I'm telling you, you were reacting to that energy, that feeling. You were still reacting to it.
That's so true. And you want to know something? This is more of the clearing that I need to do. Thank you. Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. I mean, seriously, that was, you came right out of left field with that one. Oh my God. And
It's one of the things of humanity. You know that you're very into the male and the female, and you're very into the idea of a father and a mother and things like that. It's something you're holding on to because it's something that you cherish the sentiment of it. And it's also something that you're still wanting to have that feeling of. You know, you still want that feeling of satisfaction. And it's important, you know, you want that childhood. And, you know, so I think when we come to these realizations together, maybe it at least brings the fatherly energy into it. And it lets you know that, because now what you realize, how that love's always been there, you know, every time that we're reminded of that part of your little girl self that needs that love, it nourishes it, you know, and that's what we're doing. We're nourishing it more, you know, and that's good. That's good.
That is good. Oh, my God. Wow, you were just like, you dug so deep in that moment, man. That was like really, that was something that I would do. And you did it. Oh, my God. You see, you really open. I mean, I'm not saying that you're opening up any different. I'm just saying that I'm seeing it more and more in you, that you really are becoming so clear about the higher knowing, and again, not higher for the better, but higher in that it's just a beautiful, beautiful essence of being. It's really cool. Anyway, why don't you go have your soup?
Secret. Okay, I'll do that in just 1 second. Let me just give you this last thought. The reason why I'm that way is because from the time I was a child, which is to say no time at all, but from the moment of my creation, which is to say all time, because time doesn't exist, so just to say now, in this moment, I am always looking at the bright side. And that's a story that keeps repeating itself in my eternal lifetime. That's my energy, I guess you could say, the bright side. The bright side. And remember, when we say the bright side, what is that actually talking about? The speeding up of the molecules, the heating up of the molecules in speed, to the point where it becomes a white hot rush, and that's the quickening that we talked about, and it's a beautiful feeling, and that's what life is. So if you want to know how to become like me, just always choose the bright side. And my whole lifetime, people have always said to me, you know, in my human form as we are here, that even since I was a little child, people always said, oh, you're always so positive. You're always looking at the bright side. People have actually told me that throughout my life, and that was really how I came to that realization, because people would say, oh, I love being around you because whenever I'm around you, you always have something positive to say. It's just, it's so funny, right? It's so simple. But here we are. So, all right, on that note, as sad as it is, we're going to be done talking. The bright side is I get to eat that too.
I have to say that I've always been told the same thing, and I still am, that I am the light of the world. So enjoy your soup, and I hope that this turned out to be a full show, and if not, we had a great time. So have a beautiful rest of the night. This is the best moment ever, right?
It is. It absolutely is, and it's going to keep staying that way, too. So we'll just continue this next time.
All right. Have a beautiful night.
You too, sweetheart. Have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.